What? Everybody's like, think of something quick. All right. Well, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 8 this morning. Genesis chapter 8. And I know you've heard this many, many times, and you've experienced it yourself many, many times, I'm sure. In fact, I know you have, if you're diligent about reading the Bible and reading the Word of God, how you read through some scriptures and even some familiar stories and things that you've heard many times, even since your childhood when you've been in Sunday school, and something just sticks out at you one time when you read it through, and you're like, well, what is that there for? You know? And you start asking. And it's nice, being a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and He wrote the book. So it's like having the author right there with you, and you just say, what do you mean when you wrote that? Or what do you mean? What is that supposed to mean? Or maybe you're starting to read that certain story again, and all of a sudden you get a little poke. And it's like, oh, I really paid attention to that before. It's just part of the story. You know, we all read the story of David and Goliath, and it's funny because a lot of churches, the pastor will get up and start reading a certain portion of Scripture, and as soon as the people hear the portion of Scripture he's reading, they say, oh, I've heard this before, and shut them off. You know, it's you know, and I don't mean to, well, I'll say it, I don't care. A lot of churches say it, and it's usually the same sermon over and over again anyways. So you might as well shut them off. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And, but so please, when I read this, don't shut me off. I found this is kind of a neat little deal I found, and I hope it makes sense once I'm done. But in the military here a couple years back now, they started, if you felt overwhelmed, you just put it, or felt like you couldn't do the exercises or the routine that the military was having you do, and you just raise up this red card, and they'd go, oh, I'm sorry, okay, you know. And so that's the kind of military we got out there right now. But anyways, so if you feel overwhelmed this morning, just put up a red card, and we'll start over again. And I'll take the blame, because I don't know where this is going to end up. Should be kind of interesting. There you go, the hymnal. There we go, that'll work. Yeah. Just don't throw it at me, all right? Just hold it up, all right? That's all I ask. All right, let's start with a word of prayer. We're going to need it this morning, all right? Lord, thank you so much for this word that you've preserved for us. Lord, that you spoke and people and men wrote down. And Lord, I just thank you for it. And I just thank you for how it's living and how the information and that you have for us just never ends. And I just thank you for it. Every time we can read through it and get something new, it's just an amazing book. It really is. It's just a living, breathing book. And it just seems to know what we need at the right times. And Lord, I just pray now that you'd bless this study. I pray that you'd speak through me. Give me the words to say. I really need that this morning. And I pray that this would make sense when it's all said and done. Thank you so much. In your name, amen. All right, we're going to read Genesis chapter 8, starting in verse 6. And we're just going to read through this real quick, down to verse 12. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth a dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Okay, so I'm reading this, and the thing that popped out to me that I had never seen before is, okay, why do you use a raven and a dove? Simple enough. Then I see the phrase to and fro, and I said, That looks familiar. Anybody see, know where that's coming from? Yeah, Satan, right? He goes in Job 1 and 2. It's like going to and fro in the earth. I'm like, okay. So what's going on here? Is this going to... So then I started reading it. So I started looking up some information about the raven. Just looking, a raven and a dove, just to get some information, mainly from Scripture and what it talks about. So, and then comparing that, and well, that's the first thing I thought of. So you got the raven, he's given an attribute that Satan said he uses, going to and fro and out the earth. I'm saying, so okay, so let's say the raven is Satan. All right, and let's say the dove is Jesus Christ, or, you know, and we'll go from there. That's where I started. So I started looking up the raven, and I looked up the phrase to and fro in the Bible, and like in it says in Job chapter 1, verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. I said, okay, so he's got an attribute of Satan already. He goes to and fro throughout the earth. And then in Amos 8:12, it says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, then shall they run to and fro and to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Boy, what a pathetic state that is, huh, for a country? To say no to the Lord and say, forget you for all these years, and then all of a sudden, when they need him the most, they can't find him. Wow, what a helpless state that would be, huh? But that's a nation that gives up on the Word of God. That's a nation that says no to God. You know of any of those right now? Yeah, pretty soon it's going to be too late. Not going to be able to find it. Not going to be able to find our way back to where we need to be as a country. But I firmly believe that it's little congregations like this who are still looking for the truth and seeking to know the truth. They're going to hold this thing together until the end. Once we're gone, though, where are they going to go? My son had an orchestra, a concert last night over at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Matamidi. So you go into this complex. I mean, this thing was huge. This church was unbelievably huge. And I don't know, Brother Jason can vouch for me, the organ pipes on the wall in the behind where the pulpit would be on the we'll call it a stage. It's not a platform, it's a stage. But the pipe organs on the back wall, if you laid them lengthways, they'd probably reach the back of the building side by side. If you laid them, they were that huge, and the length of the width of the building, it was unbelievable. I got a picture on my phone. I'll show you later. It's just unbelievable. But where are they going to go? When they reach the end of their rope, where are they going to go? They're going to go to a church like that that has a contemporary service that just appeals to your flesh and tells you what you want to hear and makes you feel good about yourself? It's going to be a hopeless end. It really is. Then you got Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie to wait to deceive. These two things are all derived from Satan himself. He's the master of deceit. He's the master of leading people astray. These people that give up on the Word of God and can't find it. The people that are deceived by every wind of doctrine and blown to and fro and say, oh, that sounds good. Oh, I like this church. I know a family that we're acquainted with. I don't know how many churches they've been members of in the Twin Cities area, but they haven't found the one that quite fits right yet, you know. No, it's a pretty selfish thing. I think there's a problem there, and it just seems to be with you every day, you know. It's just, you just need to look in the mirror. Maybe you'll probably find out what the problem is. But here it is. You got a raven. He's going to and fro on the earth, and he seems to have a lot of attributes that coincide with that of what Satan had. Here's another one. It's... In Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. ravens of the valley. When is it that Satan always attacks? When you're at a low point. For me it is anyways. Maybe he hits you at different times. But at low points in life, when you're at the lowest point, you know, we got these guys at work, at the workhouse, that they're always hearing these voices. You know, this big mental illness kick, you know, that they're on. And they're always hearing these voices. And the voices are never telling them, hey, why don't you go shake a man's hand and, you know, tell him, good job. You know, or go, why don't you call your wife and tell her you love her? Or why don't you call one of your girlfriends and tell her you love her? It's never anything good that these voices are telling them to do. It's always, you need to kill yourself. There's no hope. You know, why don't you hurt yourself? Why don't you cut yourself? Why don't you take all those pills that are sitting there on the shelf? Don't just take one. Drink the whole bottle, man. It's never anything good. So the devil's out there trying to get these people to just, when they're at their lowest point, he's help them to just destroy themselves. So there is no hope left when they get down to the end. There is no hope. They just, oh, forget it. You know, it's just, I'm giving up. And I know when I'm tired at the end of the day, and I sit down, the worst thing I can do when I get home from work is sit down. Because it's just a matter of time, you know. I'm just, hey, you want to take the garbage out? No, not really. I really don't feel like doing anything right now. You know, we've got to rake the yard. Okay, have fun, you know. You know, and it's just, I don't know. But the low times, when I'm tired, that's when those, all of a sudden this thought will come out of nowhere. Something vulgar, something weird, something stupid, and be like, what in the world? Where'd that come from? Well, I got a good idea. I know where that came from. Satan, he just hits you in the valleys when it's lowest. He just starts picking at you and hitting you from all angles. another thing I noticed too, Luke 12:24, it says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Now you say, well, where are you going to go with this? Well, the ravens don't think about the future. They don't think about the future. They don't think about down the road. They don't sow crops. They say, well, man, if I planted my own crops, I wouldn't have to sit here and fly around and look for stuff to eat. I'd have my own garden and everything. They don't think about that stuff. And Satan, he already knows what's going to happen in the future, because in Mark chapter 5, when the maniac of Gadara comes out of the rocks, you know, that would have been a sight to see. And here he comes out of the rocks, he says, have you come to torment me before the time? They know there's something coming down the road. But so they know that's coming down the road. They know their end is near. So to me, it would just seem natural. I'm going to worry about right now. I'm going to see how many people I can take with me. I'm going to pick at this guy. I'm going to get him to do wrong. I'm going to get him not to live for the Lord. And I'm going to take him and drag him down with me. You know, I know it's coming, but I'm right now, this is, I'm going to worry about this guy. I'm going to make him think that, oh, my back hurts. I'm not going to go to church today. Or, oh, my neck. Oh, wow. I can't listen to the pastor with like this. You know, I won't get the full effect. You know, it just won't be right, you know. So I know there's a nerve and my back hurts, so that means my hearing's going to hurt and I won't be able to shake hands because that'll disturb my back and I better stay home this morning. You know, it's just an amazing thing. So he's going to get you now, right this morning. This afternoon he's like, boy, I got to see the end of the Zurich Classic, man. I got to watch and see who wins the tournament, right? Right, brother? You know, you got to sit, okay, I got to go over the NFL draft. I got to make sure the Vikings got the right guys. I just want to make sure that we're set to win the Super Bowl this year. Keep dreaming. Yeah, right? That's our team philosophy. Not. That's the Vikings philosophy. All right, so he's not looking to the future. He's thinking about you right now as an individual. You're here this morning. You won the victory over Satan. He didn't want you here today. Well, pastor's out of town. We got the B team preaching today. Let's stay home, you know. You know, let's. So you're here and you're suffering through this, and I appreciate it. All right. Another thing that really saw me. Let's get some activity going here. Matthew chapter 13. Careful for paper cuts. Matthew chapter 13. And I kind of drew a line of familiarity here between the ravens. This may be a really thin-cut line, but I'm going to throw it at you and see what you think. Matthew chapter 13, he's talking about the parable of the sower. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Okay, now according to Unger's Bible Dictionary, I know that's a real rich source of information, but it does have some pretty helpful things in there. They say that if most of the time ravens are feeding on dead, putrefied flesh, carcasses. You see them on the road all the time. You know, they fly off when you go by, and then they fly back, and they're going to stay there till they're done. But when the rough months come, when they can't find the dead animals, they're feeding on seeds. Seeds and berries, it says. And seeds and fruit. So that's a part of their diet, is the seeds and the fruit. And I'm sure it helps the digestive system. And then you turn over to, so you got the fowls of the air plucking up the seed. And then later on in the chapter, he asked the disciples, say, what do you mean by this? You know, explain this sower and the seed and all this to us. And down in verse 19, or 18, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. That is which received the seed by the wayside. So here you got the fowls and the wicked one. He uses them, interchangeably. So you got ravens, they like, according to this source, Unger's Bible Dictionary, they say they like seeds and fruit. So I see this guy sowing the seed, and here come the birds, the ravens, anybody looking for something to eat. So I picture the ravens going in there and picking the seed out. They already have some of the attributes of Satan himself, and there's nothing more than Satan wants to do than for us, when you go out knocking on doors or street preaching and a seed is planted in someone's heart, he wants to go take that out of there and get that out of there and remove it as soon as he possibly can. So we got those attributes of a raven, okay? And, they're going to and fro. He likes to hit you when you're down. The ravens do that too, the ravens of the valley. They're improvident. They don't plan for the future. They don't look to things beyond now. They just want to take you down right now where you're at. If you're living for the Lord, and just plan on a battle. Just plan on it. People, you're going to have... he's going to be having relatives throwing stuff at you, slinging stuff at you. He's going to have, heard it many, many times in here of people witnessing to their relatives and their relatives giving them the cold shoulder just because they take a stand for what's right and what the Bible says. That's you're getting hit. You're getting hit from the valley. He's taking care of you right now. He wants to get rid of you right now, so you're not a effective witness for him. And he wants to take care of you now. And if he takes care of you right now, that means someone's life in the future is going to be taken care of as well. So now let's take a look real quick at the dove. All right, we'll go back to Genesis chapter 8. And he lets the dove go out three times. Three times. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, it talks about, one of the attributes of a dove talks about being harmless. Being harmless. Matthew 10:16 says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Okay, we're supposed to have the same, when we go out, we're supposed to adopt and have in our life the same attributes of Jesus Christ. So when we're talking to people about the Lord, we're not supposed to grab them by the collar and say, you need to get saved, You're not right with God. What are you doing living with that woman? That's not right. You need to get saved. Here's what the Bible says. Yeah, that's really going to turn a lot of people on, isn't it? Especially today, you probably get sued and end up in jail. Well, I already am, so it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. But it is... you got to approach people, get to know them where they're at, and it's just amazing how the Lord just kind of gives you an in. That guy at work I got to witness to 2 weeks ago, and I've been working light duty in this one area in the jail, and that's where he normally works. And that week he was working with me for 2 days, and he just started asking questions about Christianity and about Christ, and I got to just unload the truck on him. It was great. And every time he'd bring it up, we'd get interrupted. But then after the interruption was, taken care of, he would ask another question. He just wanted to know. And it was a great thing. And since those 2 days, I haven't worked with him since. It was a blessing. It's just like the Lord set it up that way. And if we do our work half-heartedly, if we have a bad testimony, if we're one that listens to the bad jokes or joins right on in, are you the one that they're going to go to when they need, when they're looking for help? Really, are people going to? I go back to the churches. Are they going to go to the one with the contemporary service that's trying to please you where you're at? Or are you going to go to a church where there's something different about that place? The people always seem happy and joyous and have peace. At least we, most of the time, right? Are they going to go there? So when he says, go, therefore, wise as serpents and harmless as doves, that's a characteristic of Christ himself. In Hebrews 7:26, it says, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. So it's an attribute. A dove is harmless. So is Christ. So is God. So is the Holy Spirit. They're harmless. Another one was attribute that I noticed was a soft voice. This is Song of Solomon 2:14. It says, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Spend some quality time with your wife or husband. When you first asked them out, you didn't go up there and say, hey, how you doing? Let's go out on a date, huh? Let's go out to Burger King, get us a Whopper. It wasn't anything like that. It was, hey, how you doing? Hey, baby. He didn't just put on the charm. He did the soft voice and tried to, whisper sweet nothings in their ear, But it wasn't anything forward and forceful or anything. It was a soft voice. And it was just like when Elijah was in the cave, God brought an earthquake and he brought the fire and he wasn't, most people think, we're going to pray down the fire of God. Boy, I hope not. Man, a living. I wouldn't want that to happen. But then a still small voice, still soft voice, that gets your attention. You're like, I used to work midnights at the workhouse, and you sit at your desk and you want it dead quiet in there. When you're sitting there reading a book or nodding off or whatever, and all of a sudden you hear somebody whispering in a dorm way in the back. And you're like, it gets your attention. It really gets your attention. And you're like, and you go back there trying to figure out who, I'm going to throw him in the jail, throw him in the clink here, get rid of this guy, disturbing my sleep. But a small voice, in 1 Kings 19:12 says, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still small voice. That's just like we're talking about at the beginning, when you're reading the Word of God and you're going through Scripture that you've read many times, and just something says, hey, did you see that? Hey, did you see that? Oh, yeah. Never seen that before. That's good. It doesn't come off the page, it's nothing like that, trumpets or horns or anything. It's just a still small voice. Isn't that good? Yeah, that is good. That's really good. So we have a raven. We have the attributes of the raven that are very parallel with that of Satan. And then the dove, who's harmless, and the soft voice of that of the Godhead. The way God speaks with us and deals with us, He's harmless. He's already paid the price. If we accept it, there's nothing to worry about. There really isn't. If we accept Christ as our Savior, He's going to treat us like children. Yeah, we need to get in line once in a while. He needs to get after us and get in line. But he said, okay, let's start over again. Let's try this again. It just works with us. He's harmless. He doesn't want to kill us. He doesn't want to hurt us. He just wants us to get back in line and live right. But, okay, so now here's where this is where it gets interesting. So hang with me. So we got, and what I saw here when I read this now, is I saw kind of a mini timeline, almost a prophetic timeline. And I say, boy, he's going somewhere now, isn't he? He sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up. Okay? At one time, Satan was kicked out of heaven. Read about it in Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And it goes through all the I wills. I will, I will, I will. And pastor talks about certain, now I'm not going to, I don't want to throw anybody out. Everybody here, it seems like everybody's been here before for the most part. He talks about, in order for this to work, you'd have to study and divide the word of truth. Okay, and pastor talks about the gap in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And I'm not going to go over that at all because I'm not as well versed in it as he is. But for this to work, that would have had to take place. It's just like, let's picture now the ark as being heaven. Picture Noah as being God the Father. And you got Satan who rebels against God the Father and says, I want to be like the Most High. I want to be as powerful as He is. I want to be the man in charge. And God says, can't have that. I'm the man in charge, and kicks him out of heaven. So you have the raven leaving the ark, going to and fro in the earth. He throws a little temper tantrum. Talks about some of the scriptures that go with the gap theory, the gap fact, as some people call it. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 13, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth, that is, the earth and heavens that are now. Everybody says, well, it's talking about the flood in Noah's time. In Noah's flood, it was just the earth that got flooded. It wasn't the heavens. Second thing I think of is, when was Satan's fall? Satan showed up in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of time. So when was the fall of Satan? It had to have happened before Genesis 1:1 for him to show up in the garden. Another thing, when Noah and his family came off the ark, the world was destroyed. There wasn't anybody left on the earth. What did he tell them to do? He told them to replenish the earth. There wasn't anybody living on the earth. What did he tell Adam and Eve to do? The same thing. Told them to replenish the earth. The words in the Bible are really important. You can't just take words out and say, well, that can't be right. You hear it on TV, you hear it on radio, you hear it on tapes of people saying, well, that can't be right, we're going to change that word to this. Well, God didn't know what He's doing, obviously, so let me, as a human being, help Him out. You know, I'm so much smarter now, you know. The human race has come so far. Yeah, we're bombing up innocent people in Boston. Yeah, we've come a long way, you bet. And another thing that pointed out, darkness in the Bible, whenever there's darkness, it's a sign of judgment. Okay, where did the judgment come in Genesis 1:2? Where did that come from? There had to be something prior. There had to be. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23 to 25 talks about no men, but cities that are destroyed and the birds fled. Okay, where is that referenced in the Bible? Where is that talking about? So there has to be some kind of existence beforehand. So Satan gets kicked out of heaven, throws a little fit, and destroys a bunch of people and a bunch of cities, and God says, okay, we've got to start over again, and gets the world going again. So then we have the dove. It says, but the dove found no rest. So here we go. Also, he sent, verse 8 of chapter 8, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her in and pulled her into the ark. And I saw this, okay, so he kicked Satan out of heaven. Now he sends forth a dove, and I read that in Genesis 1:2. He says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It's almost like, hey, could you go down there and check and see if everything's destroyed, like a planet? So he sends the dove out. Sends the Holy Spirit out. There's no reference in the Bible. Maybe I'm mistaken, and if I am, please let me know. But the references of the dove to any member of the Godhead is usually to the Holy Spirit. So you got Satan as a raven getting thrown out of heaven, destroying, and then God having to judge the earth. And then you got the dove getting sent out, the Holy Spirit, and he goes down and goes over the face of the deep. The face of the waters, it says. The face of the waters. And then he goes up to heaven and he says, no, there's no place, it's destroyed, there's no place for me to land. There's nothing down there for me to, nobody down there for me to convict or prick or anything. It's just, it's done. Its judgment is complete. So then later on, God goes through the creation of man, he goes through the creation and starts the whole cycle over again. And here in he gets the creation. We go through Adam and Eve, and we go through Noah and David and the whole bit. And then Jesus Christ comes on, and Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and he's raised by Mary and Joseph in the carpenter shop. And at 12 years old, he's talking with the teachers and the philosophers and the scribes and all these guys in the temple and teaching them at 12 years old. And then at 30 years old, he goes down to the River Jordan to be baptized as John the Baptist. He's going to start his ministry. So he goes down there, John the Baptist, he goes, I'm not worthy to baptize, you need to be baptizing me. But he goes through it, he baptizes Christ, and when he comes up out of the water, what happens? Window of heaven is open. Window of the ark is open. Another dove is sent out. He comes down. And it says in Matthew 3:16, like a dove descending. Mark 1:10, like a dove descending. Luke 3:22, bodily shape like a dove. And John 1:32, like a dove descending. And so here we have, he sent out the raven, Satan out, and he's going to and fro in the earth. He's not mad. He's throwing a big fit because he didn't get his way. He judges the earth, sends out the dove, makes sure that his judgment is complete, and the waters of the earth are the earth is submerged in water. And it is. He comes back to heaven because there's no place for him to land, no work for him to do on the earth. The work is complete that God had done. So he comes back. He says, yeah, it's done. So Christ comes out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and lands on Jesus Christ, and up until his crucifixion, he spends his whole time leading Christ. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led up into the mountain to pray. And the Holy Spirit just giving him and guiding him and guiding the Word of God through life down here as a human being, telling him this is what you need to do now, is what you need to do now. Helping him out, getting him through. And then he gets rejected by his own people and crucified on the cross. And he says, on the cross one day, he's dying, he says, unto thee I commend my spirit. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, goes back up to heaven with an olive branch in his mouth. He said, the price has been paid. There now can be peace once again between you and man because Christ has paid the price. He's perfect. He died for all of mankind. He took all the sin of the world. God the Father, you can turn around again and look at your Son because He's paid the price. And here's the olive branch of peace that you can have between you and man once again. He talks about when the when the dove came back, he had an olive branch in his mouth. Hey, the earth is ready for population again. It can be inhabited again. Some good can come from the earth again. We can redo this thing now. We can start over and do it again. God the Father, your relationship with man has been restored through the death of your Son. And there's a band of men down there that are willing to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell the world about it, and people can be saved and have that peace between you and Him again. And today, because that olive branch, because the Holy Spirit returned to God the Father and said, there's peace once again. We can have peace between man and God again. And when you accept Christ, you're saying, I accept that sacrifice. And that peace between you and God the Father is restored. He looks down at you and says, Son, you're my son. You're my child. He doesn't have to look down and see sin and have to turn away from you anymore. He can look at you and see the blood of his son. And there's peace once again. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, God opened the window of the ark again and sent out that third dove. And that dove will be with you until the day you die. The Holy Spirit comes in to dwell in your heart. And it says in there, he said, never returned. He hasn't returned yet. He's down here on the earth convicting people of their sin. And that's another picture here. The last thing we'll go over here with the ravens and the doves. For the first part of our lives, up until the day you accepted Christ, the devil reigned in your life. The devil had his way with you. The raven was let out of the ark, and you were a sinner. You were a sinner, and you had no hope. And you may have had a friend at work, or I don't know how you accepted Christ, or maybe you heard a sermon, or maybe somebody knocked on your door and gave you a tract. Maybe you heard some nutball out on the street preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, I don't want nothing to do with that. And the whole time, the dove, the Holy Spirit was hovering around you, hoping that you would accept that and see. And he said, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And he had to fly back to heaven and say, no, there's no place to land there yet. But the seed was planted, but there's no place to land yet there, Lord. And maybe one day when we'll go back down and see. And the next time the dove comes down, he sees that you're nearing, maybe you're in your yard one day and some guy walks up to you and says, hey, I just want to give you this gospel tract. Tells you how you can know for sure that you can spend eternity with Christ in heaven. And the guy says, okay, thanks. And he's later on that day, he's going to go take a shower and he cleans out his pockets and finds a tract in his pocket. And he's reading that and he says, never heard anything like that before. Never heard anything like that before. That's interesting. And that seed that was planted maybe by a street preacher or somewhere else, he heard it, was starts to grow a little bit in his heart. And eventually he gets that Holy Spirit starts convicting him a little more and a little more and a little more, and he accepts Christ as his Savior. And the dove comes down and takes that piece of that seed that started to grow in his heart and plucks it off and takes it up to Christ, up to God the Father, and said, Todd Jensen accepted you as a Savior. Now there's peace between you and him again. There's peace. Now I got to turn around and go right back down there, because now I need to guide him into all truth whatsoever Christ has said unto him. And that's that still small voice we get to hear when we read the Bible. So now we got our whole life was ruled by Satan. And when I was 29 years old, I accepted Christ. And it's just a picture here of, you know, being controlled by Satan, the raven, and the dove, never giving up hope that one day I would accept Christ. And then the next time I accept Christ and he plucks off that leaf and says, he's accepted your son. He accepted the sacrifice that you gave him. And now there's peace between you and him. And then he comes down. He leaves heaven, leaves the ark the third time, never to return until the day I pass from off this earth. And the Holy Spirit returns. And that's just, it's just something I saw in the Bible. It's just a blessing to see that. What a treasure, what a gift we have in being saved. And every day when we read the Bible, and every day when we pray and talk to God even more, it becomes more and more sweet. And the story becomes more and more clear. We're never going to comprehend the whole thing while we're here. We never are. But boy, every day that goes by, the sweeter it gets. The sweeter it gets. Yeah, we go through some rough roads. We have some rough times. But we have the God who created this whole earth, the whole system on our side. And we have peace because of the dove that came down and brought back that olive leaf to him and says, hey, one more accepted. Yeah, here's an olive leaf from Todd. He accepted Christ. Now you have peace with him. He has peace in his heart. And now I got to go back down there. I got to help him out because he needs all the help he can get. And he promised, God, Jesus promised. And isn't that, this will be the last thing I in John 14 when he says, and 15, where he says, the Comforter shall come and guide you into all truth. Whatsoever I have said unto you, what I have said unto you, not what some man said, God didn't quite do it right here, so we took out that verse and took out that verse and changed that word. No. It's whatsoever I have said unto you. So there has to be a final authority somewhere. Has to be a final book somewhere. Isn't it a blessing and a comfort to know that the same Spirit that was in Christ when He was here on earth is the same Spirit that we have within us? Isn't that a blessing? That's just amazing. That's just another thing for us that we can't comprehend. And how many times do we just kind of discard it? How many times do we try to do it our own way? How many times do we try to, you know, run our own lives and end up a mess? He says, okay, let's try this over again. Let's get this going again here. And the Holy Spirit wants to guide us into all truth. Whatsoever you said about it. So I just wanted to share that with you today. I read that over and I just thought it was a blessing to me. I hope it was to you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. And thank you for the attentiveness. And Lord, I pray that it made sense. And your word is so special and precious. And Lord, I pray now that you'd be with us during the service. Be with Brother Darling as he preaches to us this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for him and his testimony. And Lord, I just pray that we'd go out of here refreshed. And we look forward to tonight, too, with the teens heading up to service tonight. I pray that you would be with them and bless them and as they prepare for tonight, too. Give Pastor a safe trip back to us. In your name, amen. All right. Done a little early here, but it's all right.